Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century.
We are back. It is 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our very good friend Karen Kerrigan. Let me tell you who she is. Karen is the president of the Small Business Survival Committee, an outstanding lobbying organization who works very hard in Washington, D.C. on behalf of all small businesses in America. And she is an expert on tax and budget and fiscal issues, government waste, regulation, grassroots organizing, and political activism. She's often seen on a lot of the major talk shows, CNBC's America Talking Network, America's Talking Network, C-SPAN, The Wall Street Journal Report, and on and on. She writes a biweekly syndicated commentary for the American City Business Journal. Some of those of you who are in cities where those are available, you might want to check that out. And on and on. And she's also a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Karen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Jim. That's my favorite title.
Yeah.
That's the last one.
Yep, I understand. Well, I appreciate that very much, and we're very happy to have you as part of our brain trust and to call you our friend. And I do, my audience and I consider you to be our friend because we know how hard you're working for small business on behalf of us up there in Washington. And I said something earlier before you were on the show. I said, you know, you guys are working hard to get the government off of small businesses' back. And hopefully one day, once we get them off our backs, you can keep them off our backs.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we have our work cut out for us this year, Jim. It's going to be a very, very challenging year looking at the what the president has proposed in his budget as well as the various initiatives. Essentially, if you look at most of his initiatives, they are mandates on the business sector.
Yep.
In order to fulfill social policy that he would never spend taxpayer dollars with, although we do see a tremendous amount of increase in those regulatory agencies that are used to micromanage small business. So we're sort of getting getting hit on both ends here. But with every challenge, we think there's opportunities. There's a huge surpluses that have been generated by small business and its workforce coming into the federal treasuries. And we're just working very hard to say, listen, you know, if you want to keep the economy growing, if you want to protect us from what is going on in the international marketplace in terms of downturns and troubling economic conditions overseas, give that money back to the private sector. They know how to spend it better than the government. And it's very hard because the rhetoric is, as you know, save Social Security first and put it into all these other programs. And it's going to be challenging.
You guys have really got your work cut out for you, especially coming up in the next 2 years, because President Clinton, in his attempt to throw some bones to the left side of his party, who basically are saving his bacon right now, just came up with a massive array of promises and pledges and proposals that were really very, very, in my opinion, very liberal, which is the opposite of the kind of things that small business owners need to have happen. And so I think you got your work cut out for you. We've all got our work cut out for us. You know, last year, I started paying attention to the president's State of the Union speech from the standpoint of finding of how many times the president said the words small business in his speech. In 98, he didn't use those words one time. In 99, he didn't use those words one time, but he did say small companies one time, and he was talking about how to increase the Family and Medical Leave Act to lower the number of employees that a company would fall under that. So in using the term small companies, he was actually oppressing us.
Yeah, I've been watching the president lately in terms of a lot of his White House events, as well as his state, of course, the State of the Union, which is the most publicized event.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, what he's done is he personally has taken credit for everything that has happened in our economy. Now,
yeah.
If you compare that to those, like for example, President Reagan, who says, "Listen, all we can do is get out of your way. You small business owners, workers, those in America who are working real hard, you're the ones who are really responsible for what's happening in the economy right now."
Wouldn't it be great to hear somebody in the administration say it? Now, the SBA says that. We've had some SBA representatives on the show, and they do a good job of saying that, and they believe that, and they do a good job there. But the rest of the administration and much of the Congress, you just don't hear them saying those things.
Nope. And matter of fact, you're right. I mean, in the State of the Union, it was a very hostile agenda, if you look at it from the small business perspective. Hiking the minimum wage, massive new health care regulations that are going to drive up insurance,
right.
Extension of the Family and Medical Leave Act, a whole array of little tax proposals that will be increases on many small businesses. We just go on and on and on. And I was quite offended after this speech.
I was too.
I have to watch these things because I have to do a lot of commentary on them. But it really was the government knows best, and this is what we're going to do, to further micromanage business and to make them do things our way or my way.
But
Jimmy, right? This was a traditional. This was a left-wing speech, I just don't understand why the American public doesn't see it that way.
Well, and the thing is, they're either micromanaging our businesses or they're totally disregarding us, one or the other, and I'm not sure one may be as bad as the other. All right, folks, it's 20 after the hour. We're going to take a quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our very good friend, Karen Kerrigan, the president of the Small Business Survival Committee. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, we are back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Hello.
And our special guest is Karen Kerrigan, the president of the Small Business Survival Committee. And we're talking about one of the things that we were talking about just before we took our last break. And, oh, by the way, let me give you the 800 number because you might want to, our toll-free number, you might want to call this number and ask us a question. 888-822-8255. Give us a call in that number, and if you'd like to weigh in on a conversation, if you'd like to agree with us, if you'd like to disagree with us, if you want to make a point, if you want to ask a question, if you want to find out a little bit more about the Small Business Survival Committee, 888-822-8255. Give us a call, and Karen and I will be glad to talk to you. James is on the board today. He's an outstanding producer there at the network, and he's the gatekeeper. Talk to him first, and he'll let you talk to us. Karen, you and I were talking about the administration. We were talking about the president, and my audience knows that I have declared my show a Monica Free Zone in the last year or so. I have not bashed the president. I have not taken any shots at him. My only comments about the president on the show have been about the way he treats small business owners in America, and which is to say, in my opinion, largely badly, that he treats us very badly. And it really, you said it offended you. And then I hadn't thought about it like that. I guess it did, and I just hadn't put it in those words. But I do agree with you. I'm with you. I was offended by the president's speech. And also, something else that offends me is when he takes personal credit for having created the 12 million net new jobs in the last 5 years.
Yeah, it...
When you and I both know small business owners are 100% responsible for 100% of those net jobs.
Yeah, it's and he does take credit. There's a difference between saying, listen, between government policy that helps to enhance the climate for entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
You guys have done this, but last week I was listening to on C-SPAN Radio one of his White House speeches, and he was standing in front of a graph and he said, now I helped to bring down interest rates to this point. and I helped him, you know, and I did this.
It's always like, about him, isn't it?
And, yeah, and like now I am going to help the world and the global marketplace, you know, become a, you know, help make sure that the world sort of gets over its economic troubles as well. And like I said, I have no problem with people saying, listen, this is what we've done, you know what I mean, to make sure that there's opportunity for everyone out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we do try to say nice things about the administration's policy. We've been supportive on several fronts, and they know it, and we've been invited to the White House to help them with a few things. But, you get to a point where you just got to say, listen, we've got to do what we've got to do, and that's to protect the interests of small business. And so, as you know, Jim, we are very vocal and unapologetic about our agenda, and when someone's doing or when policy is against that agenda and hurts small businesses, we're not going to be scared into saying something else.
And you know, Karen, the thing is that if as smart a politician as he is, and as smart as the people around him are, you'd think somebody would say, kind of like what you said a minute ago, Mr. President, when you go out this time, say this. You know, I'm so proud of all the small businesses in America who have done all this work, and I want you to know that we're so glad that we were able to help you do this and that. And but at least throw us a bone every once in a while.
Yeah, and even his initiatives. I know two Fridays ago he announced initiatives to increase government loans and actually direct money to organizations that help, you know, people become entrepreneurs.
Right.
And that was his big pro-small business move for the year. As you know, I mean, our position is, listen, you know, take that money and even more of it and return it to the taxpayers in the form of tax relief and small businesses and let them decide, you know, how best to spend that money in terms of more capital spending and, You know how it is. Sometimes you just can't teach people to be small businesses, to be entrepreneurs. I mean, there's plenty of organizations out there that show people the ropes in terms of taxes and regulations and how to market and how to trade in the global marketplace and how to do this and how to do that. But, you know, increasing loans, you know, billions more, or and this is very controversial for us, as, you know, SBSC is very wary of government loans.
Right.
We'd rather see the market decide where that money goes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And that's a big sticking point between the administration and me and you, I think. Stay tuned, Karen. We got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. When we come back, we're going to get Karen to tell us about the SBSC's agenda for supporting and strengthening and helping small business in America. All right, welcome back, you Rose. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is one of my heroes, Karen Kerrigan, the president of the Small Business Survival Committee out of Washington, D.C. They work real hard for you and me on behalf of small business in Washington to get and to try to keep government, the administration, and the Congress off of our backs. It doesn't matter whether they're Republicans or Democrats or Independents or mugwumps. It doesn't matter what they are. If they're doing something against small business, she and I are aligned in this, and that is that you know, if you're not helping small business, then you're hurting small business, and that's what they focus on. Karen, I want you to give your website out because I want people to go there because it's you guys have really done a lot of work recently to improve the page.
Oh, absolutely. It's we are committed every day as an organization to keeping it updated and making it better for small businesses. The website is www.sbsc.org, www.sbsc.org, and we have even more improvements coming up, and we are really excited about it. We're getting lots of hits, both from small businesses, the public, educators. The media loves our website because they like to go in there and on any number of issues impacting small business. We either have some type of paper, letter to Congress, analysis, and we've gotten great reviews for our website in the past.
I believe that. And now, if someone wanted to join the Small Business Survival Committee, how would they do that?
Two ways. They can go into the website, and they can actually go under either About SBSC or Join SBSC and fill out the information and submit that, and that will go right to our membership director, Sherry Ann Kelly, or they can call 1-800-223-7526.
And what does it cost to be a member of the SBSC?
Well, we have various membership levels, everywhere from sort of just starting, you know, $25, $50 a year, all the way up to the President's Council for those real successful small businesses who come to Washington and want to personally lobby.
Right.
So we have a wide range of membership levels.
Okay, good. So as little as a few bucks, you can join them. And of course, now that doesn't mean you can still check out the website, folks. But if you want to continue to get more and more information from them on a regular basis, and if you want, or just you just want to support what they're doing, which I recommend that you do. They do a lot of good work up there. Karen, thank you for giving us that information. But right now, I want you to talk to us about your agenda, and I want you to be specific about the different areas as much as we have time today. But before you actually get into a lot of detail, would you read through and just identify the several key issues that are in your agenda, and then we'll come back and fill in the blanks?
Absolutely. Well, the first issue, as you know, for small businesses relative to government-imposed barriers to their growth and survival is taxes.
Right.
So tax relief always tops our list of items. So we are fighting for supporting various proposals on the Hill. John Kasich has a 10% across-the-board tax cut. We're supporting the elimination of death taxes or estate taxes. We're supporting reductions in the capital gains tax. I mean, we are up there every day basically making the case for returning these surpluses to the private sector.
Right. You know.
And then, of course, we want to overhaul the system, and that is always at the top of our agenda. But in the meantime, we need to get this money back into the hands of small business owners.
Right. Well, go ahead and list the others, because I wanted to come back and talk about the tax cuts.
Regulatory reform, regulations are becoming just as onerous as taxation for many small businesses, and so we're pushing for vast reg reform measures, both in all the agencies and on a broader level. Mm-hmm. And we're happy to report that yesterday in the House, we were very critical in helping to pass the Small Business Paperwork Reduction Act.
I saw that. I watched some of that. Thank you very much.
And we're very happy about that.
Yeah.
Also, we helped to pass the Mandates Information Act,
Go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, which would basically make the regulatory system more transparent, make them do a cost-benefit analysis before they apply these costs to the private sector.
Yeah. All right.
Big issue for us. The other, government spending, it continues to go up, up, and up. The end of big government, it was never over. The era of big government, it was never over. That is such hogwash.
Yeah.
And the more money that you give to these agencies, the more they tend to regulate business. So we are calling, as politically incorrect as it is, restraint in government spending. Affordable, competitive health care, mm-hmm. another big issue that's on the top of our agenda. Stopping the UN Global Climate Treaty is another big issue on our agenda.
Right.
Social Security reform, making sure that whatever they do to reform the system is not on the backs of small business, that it is indeed a more privatized personal system,
right.
And that payroll taxes go down, not
up. They're going up now, though.
And of course, we definitely want to make sure that the government and bureaucrats don't invest our money in the market.
What a nightmare.
Huh?
What a nightmare.
What a nightmare is correct.
Jeez.
And it's telecommunications. We are continuing to monitor the 96 Act to make sure that the system does become more competitive and that small businesses have a choice. Electricity deregulation. We want to make sure that whatever happens is actually deregulation and it doesn't mean higher costs for small businesses.
Right.
We have a new project where what's called the Antitrust Watch Project. We're looking at the Department of Justice and antitrust. You know, that has a huge impact on small businesses,
absolutely.
Not just Microsoft.
Absolutely.
So all those things, Jim.
Yeah. Karen, that's a great tour of your agenda, and I want to come back in a few minutes, folks. We're going to get Karen to talk to us about the number one issue on their agenda, and that's tax reform. 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Karen Kerrigan with the Small Business Survival Committee. Stay with us. All right, we're back. It's 45 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is our good friend Karen Kerrigan. She is the president of the Small Business Survival Committee, and I want her to give her website out again one more time, Kerrigan.
Yeah, www.sbsc.org.
And that stands for Small Business Survival Committee, folks, sbsc.org. Check it out. You're going to like that website. Karen, thank you for going through quickly the list of the items on the SBSC's agenda on behalf of small business in Washington, D.C. Now, I want to come back to number one, and I want to talk about that a little bit more, and I want you to blend in something I know you do very well. I want you to blend in some of the president's budget items into our discussion here, but we were talking about tax issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one.
Critical. I mean, you know, obviously, we are pushing for a simple, fair code, but that's not going to happen for a long time. Mm-hmm. So in between, what we need to do, obviously, is give small businesses and entrepreneurs and everyone in the private sector, taxpayers, workers, you name it, some tax relief. If the surplus is not returned to the taxpayers, it is going to be spent by the government.
They tell you
that, you know, they'll use it to save Social Security, but sorry, people, the surplus in Social Security is spent.
That's right.
And what do you think is going to happen to this $1 trillion more that is expected to come in over the next 10 years?
The surplus has been borrowed by the general fund of our country so they can use it to spend money for the politicians to spend money.
You know it, and, you know, the president says we can't chew gum and walk at the same time, meaning we can't save Social Security and give money back to the taxpayers at the same time. And we all know that's not true. You know, if you move to a private system, you can do this.
Other countries have done it.
But the most hypocritical thing that continues to happen is the saving it for Social Security. It's going to be spent if it's in Washington, if it doesn't go back into the private sector. So, but small businesses, you know, if you are, you know, an individual and you're not filing taxes, if you're filing taxes as an individual rather than a corporation, you're paying huge, huge taxes. And that's why the 93 tax hike and President Bush's tax hike back in 90, they were not tax cuts on the rich. They were tax hikes on the rich. That was a tax hike on small businesses.
That's right.
And so we've got to bring down this burden.
What are you proposing?
Well, we're supporting almost everything that's out there. Not, you know, the sort of targeted over 10-year measures.
Mm-hmm.
We're supporting Kasich's 10% across the board rate cut. We're mm-hmm. supporting Vito Fisella from New York, his 30% across the board tax cut. We're supporting David Dreyer from California's reduction in indexation of capital gains taxes. We're supporting Chris Cox's elimination of estate taxes. I mean, we're just saying, listen, the more Republicans talk about tax relief and some of their Democratic friends and make the case that this is critical to the growth of our economy and protecting our borders against, you know, what's happening overseas,
mm-hmm.
we'll be out there supporting them. But we're very wary of these targeted, we'll give you a tax cut if you make under $40,000 and if you have a kid at home that's under one, and you know what I mean? And if you do what the government wants you to do.
Right.
You know, that's industrial policy when it comes to tax relief.
Where's the leadership going to come? You and I both know that there is a rare commodity in Washington these days called leadership. Where's the leadership going to come to make these things happen, to make these reductions happen?
I just don't know. I mean, as you know, the Republicans are sort of in a fetal curl and in the defensive mode right now because on a number of issues, and they're, you know, mean, and they want to, mm-hmm. you know, poison the environment and do all these other things, according to Democrats. They have to stand up and do this, or else they're, I think, pay a price in 2000. And but on the other hand, Jim, my concern is that when they get down to budget reconciliation this summer, that the president may say, okay, you can have your capital gains tax or you can have this tax relief, but it may come at a huge price. For example, like USA accounts, you know, giving, mm-hmm. starting a new entitlement program that gives people
right.
a certain income, the government's going to give them money to invest for the future. That's an entitlement program.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's just face it and call it what it is. So my concern is it will come at a huge price in addition to more government spending. I don't know where it's going to come from. I think it's going to come from out of Washington. I think it will come from the governors. And you do have governors...
Outside of Washington.
Outside of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
who obviously have higher political aspirations who will begin to weigh in on, you know, this Washington does not know best.
There's precedent for all that with vis-a-vis the welfare issue,
yes.
Isn't there?
Oh, yeah, and a number of issues.
Using that model.
Yes.
Yeah. Stand by, Karen. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Karen Kerrigan, the president of the Small Business Survival Committee. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for being with us today. I want to remind you that our next guests are going to be Gene Grisman, the guy who is an expert on Abraham Lincoln, and he's written a book called The Words Lincoln Lived By. He also, when he joins us, he's going to be talking to us. He's going to be bringing President Lincoln with him. We're going to be visiting with President Lincoln at least one segment. So if you'd like to visit with President Abraham Lincoln, be sure to tune in to that. And also, we're going to have Mark Allen coming up shortly, and we're going to be talking about having a visionary business, how to do that. Karen Kerrigan, the president of the Small Business Survival Committee, has been our guest this hour, and she's a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust and a very loyal supporter of our show and an ardent supporter of what you do in the marketplace, small business owners. And we've been going over their agenda, the SBSC's agenda, and we're just about to wrap up the hour. And Karen, you ticked off all of the points of your agenda, and over the next several months or so, I wanted you to come back. I'd like to invite you to come back and let's flesh out some of these points that you've given us. Today we've talked a lot about, most recently in the hour, about income tax cuts, and I want to talk about that a little bit more, but I want my audience to know that they can look forward to you coming back on a fairly regular basis in the next few months to finish up talking about the different points of the agenda.
Well, I look forward to that, and you know, there, of course, that just sort of scratches the surface of our agenda. There's much more.
Yeah.
Because there's the defensive agenda, too, and we're going to need people to help us with that.
Exactly, and that's the reason why, folks, we've got Karen on here, so you can know not only what they're doing, but what you can do to take action. And, Karen, we were talking, we just got a minute or so, we were talking about, you made a very good point that I really like, and I agree with you. You said, when I asked you where the leadership was going to come from, you said you thought the leadership was going to come from the governors, and I like that. I'm glad to know not only that you think that, because I agree with you, but not only that, but there is a precedent, as I said before, as we were taking the break, there is a precedent because we've actually been through that exercise with the welfare issue.
On the welfare issue, on the crime issue, too.
Yes.
I mean, there's a number of issues. If you also look at, for example, you know, there's plenty of Republicans, governors out there, who have vastly reduced the tax burdens in their state and who have paid no political price for it.
Right.
You didn't have, it was a tax cut for the rich. You've got Governor Bush, Governor Pataki,
right.
Tom Ridge, a whole range of governors who have done what they can to make their states more entrepreneurial and
mm-hmm.
more friendly to small business, and they were overwhelmingly reelected. And, you know, on our website, you'll find the Small Business Survival Index that looks at all the states and how they treat small businesses,
mm-hmm.
who are the top 10, who are the bottom 10, and that really shows you that, you know, what the states do also matters. So I hope, and I think, the governors are going to say, take a more leadership role and tell Washington to get off their back and say, this is what we're doing from a policy perspective. You know,
now,
Republicans and Democrats who agree with us, you should do the same.
Exactly. And so now, folks, if you agree with what Karen and I are talking about, now you've got a different angle. When you think about electing your governor next time, don't think about it as a state issue. With the fraternity, so to speak, that the governors are developing for themselves, this structure that they're developing among themselves, the governor that you elect could have a great influence on how things happen in Washington.
Absolutely. I mean,
more than ever before, probably.
If you look at my governor of Virginia, Gilmore, you know, he ran on cutting the car tax, which
yep.
is like, and he did it. And, you know, I got my first rebate last year.
And he won.
And he will continue to eliminate
yep.
that. Now
yep.
they're arguing, Democrats and Republicans, over how much they're going to cut the sales tax by.
Karen,
so this
is
a good thing.
I got to wrap it up. I'm sorry. I hate
okay.
to cut you off. But I'm looking, we got to go for this hour. Thank you very much for being with
us. Oh, gosh, my pleasure. And we look forward to doing it again.
Thank you. You did a great job.
Thanks.
See ya. All right, folks, we've got to wrap it up for this hour. Before I go, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember these 10 two-letter words. If it is to be, it is up to me. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.